Radio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Hi, I'm Sarah and you're listening to Cradio. Today I'm joined by Father Gerard Kelly. Father Gerard is from Liverpool in the UK, served as president of the Zion community for 10 years and has worked in parish and school evangelization for 25 years. Father Gerard, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Good to speak to you.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself and your ministry?
Well, I've been born into a fairly typical sort of Catholic family in England, and I was brought up within the context of the Catholic community, so my life revolved around the Catholic school and the Catholic parish. So I grew up sort of understanding myself to be a Catholic, but if anybody had ever asked me about what the essence of the Catholic faith was about, I don't think I would have been able to respond very well. And it was only in my early 20s, really, when I was challenged by evangelical Christians and charismatic Christians, that I began to realize that I had to make a decision. And the decision was to put Jesus at the center of my life. And in doing so, I experienced a whole new vitality, a whole new motivation, a whole new enthusiasm for life. And so that became my sense of vocation, really, that looking at the Catholic communities and the Catholic parishes, often they were lacking in this sense of what a great privilege it is to be a person of faith and how our faith really is the pearl of great price. So my ministry is one, it's a ministry of evangelization, but strangely enough, it's a ministry of evangelization within the Catholic Church and trying to bring people to a more personal relationship with Jesus. And that gives me a great sense of meaning and purpose to my own life and seeing other people's faith coming to life in different ways.
I believe you actually completed your licentiate in the area of the new evangelization, and you're the only priest in the UK that has done so. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm a priest of the Liverpool Diocese. But it was only after a couple of years of working within the parish situations as a normal diocesan pastoral priest that I was released to work with Zion Community. And Zion Community is an evangelization community working mainly in the UK, but also working abroad. And so I was president of the Zion Community for a period of 10 years. And after a period of 10 years, I thought, well, maybe I just need a little break and to step back from this work. And I came across this course. It's delivered by the major seminary in Detroit in the United States. And it's a two-year course, an STL, which is a licensed degree in the new evangelization. And the course is founded by Ralph Martin, who's been one of the great figures in renewal over this last 20, 30 years. And it's looking at where the church is at the moment and looking at the church in a very secular and secularized environment, especially in Europe, I think, and all the countries with a westernized mentality, and recognizing that we need to look at the evangelization of the world through new eyes, and especially seeing evangelization as a priority in the life of the church. So it was great to do that course, to do some academic study, but it was great for me as well to have an experience of a different culture. Before I went to America, people used to say, well, they do speak English, but remember, they are foreigners. And so it was great to be with them and to experience priesthood in that different setting and see really that the American church, and maybe as the Australian church, is beset with the same sorts of challenges and difficulties that we are in Europe, about a decline in faith or a decline in the institutional source of faith, but maybe a time for a renewal of this more personal encounter with Jesus, which is what I'll be talking about really when I arrive in Sydney, this personal encounter with Christ at the essence of our faith.
So you mentioned there's sort of this, or in the UK and in America and in Australia, there's been this decrease in faith, or we're becoming increasingly secular. Mm-hmm. Why do you think people seem less responsive to the gospel message?
Well, I think comfort has never been a great place for the propagation of the gospel, when people are comfortable. And really, it's the richer countries of the world where people are more comfortable materialistically. They begin to develop a sense that the things of God are a little bit irrelevant. And there are so many things that we can do according to our own thinking and according to our own strength that we become a little bit arrogant about our need for God. And we just begin to live in a wholly secularized environment where we think that the human person is at the center of the world, the center of life, and we can overcome all problems according to our own human abilities. But it's really a great false outlook, because we don't bring ourselves into being, we don't decide when our lives are going to end, and unless we refer to a higher meaning and purpose, our lives just become passing time here in this world. Everything becomes temporary, and we just develop a pragmatic attitude to life and take the easiest way through and just try and invent a meaning for our lives that doesn't come from God, and we can see what sort of world we begin to live in, where respect for human life begins to be decreased.
What would you say would be the differences between there's the old evangelization where we're evangelizing to, it's not old, but evangelizing to people who've never heard the faith or don't know the faith, and now in this new evangelization, it's basically evangelizing to people who have become somewhat inoculated against the faith, in a sense, for lack of a better phrase.
I think that's a very good word to use, this inoculation, that having been presented with an institutional sort of formality of faith, people think, well, this is faith, but it's not really motivating their deeper decisions, and it's not a faith that really touches their hearts, and it's not something that's providing the motivation for their lives. So the new evangelization, I mean, it's not really a great program. The new evangelization is really a new realization or a new recognition that the church's deepest identity is to bring people to this more personal sense of faith. So we're not fighting against any other sort of religion. We're not fighting against something that's hostile to faith. We're just bringing people back to a realization of what faith actually is. And for the Catholics who feel as though they are already there, but they live in a declining church without realizing, it's like being on the Titanic. You know, we all carry on doing the same things that we do, but the ship's going to go down, and we need to be thinking about what we need to do about this situation. And the Lord's always at hand. And the Lord wants to give us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power to begin to renew the church, because the Spirit is a spirit of growth. So when the Spirit's within us and when the Spirit's alive within the church, one of the effects is that the church begins to grow and develop.
You've had extensive experience in the work of the new evangelization. I mean, what does it look like in practice?
Well, I think when we talk about new evangelization as being something more personal, I think we have to create situations in which people are respected more as persons, and in which people can relate to each other more deeply as persons. So for me, the sharing group, the prayer group, the place where people can begin to express their needs and just reveal a little bit of their vulnerability is a great place for evangelization. And also, because our message is more than a message, it's a lived message, I think it's great to bring people into situations when they can expect the Lord to be at work in their lives, and the Lord can bring healing into lives, he can bring peace into lives, he can bring healing into broken situations and broken relationships. So part of the new evangelization is really ministry and praying for people in personal ways, which are not necessarily within the sacramental structure. Praying in ways that just touch people's hearts in a very personal way. So it's an expansion of what the church is doing. It's using all the church traditions and all the teaching of the church, but making it more personal and more relevant to people's lives in a way that they can experience Jesus and they can say, I know that I have met him. I know that he's captured my heart and he's touched my life and that he's becoming more important to me. And so that Jesus becomes the center and not the church. Now, in saying that, I don't want to preach against the church, because the church is the body of Christ and the church is the people of God. But it's trying to bring forth a new recognition of what the essence of the church is. Each person called to this personal encounter and meeting and friendship with Christ.
There's been talk about something called the kerygma of the new evangelization. I know we've got a colloquium coming up and you'll be speaking on this topic. What are we talking about when we talk about the kerygma?
Well, the word kerygma is just a transliteration of the Greek word itself. And when the word kerygma is used in the New Testament, it just translates the word preaching. And so the word kerygma is applied to, first of all, the preaching of Jesus. But the way we have come to use it, it seems to apply more to the preaching of the apostles. And Jesus himself spoke more about the kingdom of God. But in the early church, and especially the influence of St. Paul, kerygma began to focus upon Jesus himself. Jesus, who is first of all the Son of God, and Jesus who gave himself through his cross and resurrection to be the Savior of the world. So that becomes the essence of the preaching, the essence of the kerygma, is asking ourselves those two questions. Who is Jesus, Son of God, and what has he done for me? He saved me from my sins. He saved me from myself. He saved me from the darkness, or however wish we to describe what Jesus has done for us, is doing for us, and will complete within us. And so this is the preaching, the kerygma, that's of the essence of things before we begin to theologize, before we begin to try and work out and understand who Jesus is and what he has done, is listening to a message and putting our trust, first of all, in Jesus, and then secondly, in his witnesses, which is the early church, the apostles, and the tradition that carries that message to us, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's given himself for the world. And that's something that we can never fully understand, but it's something that we have to make a step of faith to believe in, because that's what really opens the door for us, that step of faith. This is what I am going to believe, and this is where I'm going to put my trust, in the person of Jesus, who comes to me through the scriptures and through those who have met him. So it's friends introducing friends to a friend who is Jesus.
I know you mentioned earlier that you really came to appreciate your faith after you were challenged by some Protestant friends. And I myself, it was through World Youth Day in Sydney that I actually started to seriously learn my faith. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a case with a lot of young people. Once they actually start to really learn the faith and they encounter Christ, they become so regretful of how long it's taken them to actually learn the faith that... Would you say it's fair to say that sometimes we can get so caught up with wanting to educate people on the teachings of the church that in the meantime we can lose Christ in all of it?
Well, I think the person who has met Jesus and fallen in love with him and who begins to realize that Jesus is at the center of our faith has a totally new perspective and a new outlook. Now, before somebody has had that particular experience, they're trying to find the faith through maybe more and more church activity and more reading or more and more of whatever it is that they think is going to lead them to Christ. And it seems to be that people have a new experience of Christ when they're taken out of their normal daily environment, whether it's a retreat or a renewal day or a conference or whatever it might be, which just gives them that new experience of who Jesus is that can't really be described until we've had it, and it can't be really communicated because we can't really give what we haven't got. So the church sometimes, I would say, can get lost in a proliferation of its own teaching and traditions and everything else that the church brings to us, and trying to crack the nuts and get to the real fruits on the inside, sometimes the church finds difficult. And I think it's only the Holy Spirit who can do this. And we say the Holy Spirit wants to make his way into people's hearts, and sometimes the only way he can do that is by breaking those hearts in one way or another, so he becomes really a part of who we are, and not just something that we've experienced in our mind and through second-hand knowledge and through the more formal teachings of the church.
Well, thank you. I know I should let you go soon. You need to get ready for Mass. But before I do let you go, as I mentioned, you'll be in Sydney in August. Could you tell us a bit about what you'll be up to while you're here?
Well, I'm really looking forward to coming, although it's unfortunate I'll be in Sydney when it's the winter season, and our summer in England is so precious to us because it's so short. But when I get there, I'll be doing a couple of retreat days for teachers in Catholic schools, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then, of course, there is the conference itself, the colloquium itself, where we will be exploring the importance of the kerygma, but not just wanting to talk about it. My desire is to give those who listen and those who come along a new experience of the kerygma in their lives. So it's something that's really life-giving. And also I'll be doing a couple of talks with students and sharing some of my own witness and testimony, and really trying to meet as many people as I can, because it's meeting person to person. That's the way in which faith is transmitted and communicated.
Okay, well, thank you, Father Jared. I'll just confirm that's the 16th to 17th of August, the Credo Colloquium on the Power of the Message, the Kerygma for the New Evangelization in Lidcombe. More details at credosydney.org/colloquium2013. And Father, can I just reassure you that we do get weeks of winter in Sydney that are on par with the English summer. So we'll pray for some good weather for you.
Well, I'm really looking forward to being with you, so it'd be great to see as many people as I can while I'm there.
Credo.org.au